This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yes, what an unbelievable 2 hours.
Here we go.
We're coming to you live from UBS Arena tonight. The Islanders against the Bruins, and you could actually listen to the game on our sister station, 1050.
Ray Rowe.
7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 the puck drops.
And at
Madison Square Garden, you've got the Knicks against the Wizards. And, of course, we're talking Giants and the Eagles. But the one problem about being here at UBS, which is beautiful, is Peter's very cold. So
are you remotely cold?
No.
So you're a little cold.
I mean, it's brisk in here,
but I'm very.
But I'm not like cold at all. But the Islanders front office, you know, locked into the show, they have sent over a shawl for you.
Is it a shawl? You're sure? I don't think they sell an Islander shawl.
Yeah, here it is. Ryan Hurley is giving you the shawl.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan, thank you. Oh my God, the Islander. What a class organization.
Wow. Wow. A little warmer now, Sal?
And by the way, this isn't like a shawl. It's more akin to, like, you know, when they came up to, like, Bernie Kosar in a cold playoff game and draped the jacket around.
It's those old footage of the Giants at Yankee Stadium, at the old Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Like, Sam Huff's got this
Sam Huff tarp
over him, and they're all huddled around a little barrel with fire, actual fire on it.
This is a shawl. This is not what Sam Huff wore.
I'll tell you what, this is doing the job.
Really?
I feel great.
All right, so Giants and the Eagles. We've got some stats that we have put together. Daniel Jones, how about this? Did you know the stat? Daniel Jones picked up a first down 48% of the time on his rushes this season and added 7 rushing first downs against the Vikings. There have been 1,080 instances of a player rushing 100 times in a season since 2000. Jones's first down percentage, Don, this season was the highest of any of them.
Wow.
Hurts rushed for 760 times, Jones 708, the third and fourth among quarterbacks in rushing yards in the regular season. That's according to Elias. Their 1,468 combined regular season rush yards are the most ever in a playoff quarterback matchup. It's also the first playoff matchup where both QBs rushed for 700 or more yards during the regular season. So do you think that's going to be a big factor? Now, because the 70 sacks that the Eagles have, he's going to be moving around. But they are so athletic defensively, I don't know how much he's going to be able to rush. Because when I say rush, those are designed rushes.
Yeah.
And one quick thing about Jalen Hurts. At least 5 times in every game, they had a designed rush for Jalen Hurts. Against the Giants, not once.
Yeah.
Now, is that because of the injury or are they holding something back?
Well, probably because of the injury. But they did need that game. So they really couldn't afford to mess around. You know, Dallas lost to Washington, but they could have lost the division. Not only the bye, they could have lost the division and have you play on the road. You know, Dallas is playing on the road, Tampa, and now they got to go to San Francisco. Think of the draw. Like, I'm not saying the Giants are easy by any stretch, but by winning the division, Philadelphia gets a bye. You know, they get the Giants, and they avoid the possible, you know, favorite in the 49ers, and they get that game at home. The Cowboys, because they lost the division, had to play in Tampa, now have to play in San Francisco, and maybe have to play in Philadelphia if they catch a break at home against the Giants. So that was a big game for Philadelphia
to
win.
But that game was never in doubt.
No, it was never.
I mean,
never,
it was a one-score game, but you never had a feeling the Eagles were going to lose.
No, but it came close. But I'm just saying is, from a game plan standpoint, could the Eagles afford to say, well, we're going to win this. We're winning the division.
Not from a game plan, but as the game is going on, I think they knew they were going to win the game.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Does Sirianni hold a little something back? Because he sees what's happening. The Giants beat the Vikings. They're going to play the Giants.
I know. But
so why hold back some of the cards?
True, but I'm sure they didn't hold back any cards a few weeks before. Remember, the Giants also played them in the second half of the season. The games were relatively close together, and the Eagles beat them up. So it's all on film. They know exactly what they can do. I like what you said about it's all design rushes. It's not a lot of times Jones making something out of nothing. It's design rushes. That's why I really like Kafka. Try to use the aggression and the pressure of the Eagles against them by making sure that, hey, it comes one way. We'll design a play, go the other way, and use that leverage against them. But the interesting thing about Jones, guys, is that when they go out and get him weapons next year, is all the stats you gave, are they going to be relevant because they're not gonna need to do that anymore. Now they're gonna be throwing the ball more.
But I believe that they should still run.
I think they should.
As long as he can run, that's a great weapon that he has.
But let's face it.
I mean, that's always limited.
But this is always, Peter, you know, they went in designing this offense knowing they lacked weapons, and this was their best way to win. You start adding some really good wide receivers, they're not going to have to do that as much. Now, he's got tremendous athleticism. It'd be foolish to get rid of it. But will you have the design packages if you know he can throw the football? Because he's got a good arm, too. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to take advantage of that. But at least going into this game, I have faith Kafka will come up with something that can be productive in this game.
You do make an interesting point, too, that I can barely picture him doing off-time and scrambling stuff when they've been really good. He's a great runner, but it really is rarely on a scramble. It's almost always on a designed run.
Yeah.
Now, I want to take you – I'm looking at the Giants season, and everybody feels so bullish on the Giants right now that we're talking about that they could go to the Super Bowl. Let's go back to October 30th.
Picture it.
Right? They go to Seattle, and they lose to the Seahawks 27-13. Now, the next week – actually, after a bye, they squeak by the Texans.
Right.
24-16. Then they get completely strafed by the Lions. 31-18. There's no way you feel good about the Giants at this point. The week after
that's
that.
That's when I said they weren't going to win another.
Right. The week after that, they
tied the Commies?
The Cowboys beat them 28-20.
Right, that was the Thanksgiving game, 28-20. But remember, the Giants scored as time expired.
Right,
so it didn't feel.
They really were never in that game.
Right. Now the Giants then tied the Commanders. Then the Eagles completely destroyed them, 48-22. Then the biggest game, I think, the thing that turns everything around is they beat the Commanders 20-12. Then the Vikings beat them 27-24. They played well, but they lost. Then they beat up on the Colts. Colts are terrible. They're absolutely terrible, but they won. Then they didn't play any of their starters, and they lost to the Eagles 22-16. And then they beat the Vikings 31-24. Now, I want you to feel bullish about the Giants. You should. But I still look at the Giants, and then I look at the Eagles, Don. The Eagles are just a better team.
Yeah, there's no question.
By a lot.
No, they're a better football team. From a statistical standpoint, they're the best team in football. Now, I don't know whether they really are or not. San Francisco right now seems to really be clicking, all right? And Kansas City's Kansas City, and, you know, Buffalo's still in the conversation.
Cincinnati
and all that. But right now, when you look up and down, the best team consistently all year, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Agreed.
But at the end of the year, their quarterback gets banged up, all right? Did they lose some of their mojo getting this bye? And the Giants have built up a lot of equity. Listen, the Giants' history kind of dictates. We've seen this before. It's like getting hot at the right time. But you're right. There were moments where the Giants just did not look like a good football team. And the league had caught up with them, but it did change.
And I believe that that's one of the greatest things that Dable has done this year, that he didn't let it fall apart after the tie to the Commanders. He could have. It was slipping away. The great start was slipping away. And you know what? It slipped away from the Jets. Saleh could not correct it. Dable got his team and corrected it.
Yeah. And they did get healthy, too, right? They that's the other thing, too, is that they were hurting without Bellinger. They got him back from the orbital bone injury.
But they lost McKinney. They lost Ojulari. I mean, they weren't that healthy.
But they did get Ojulari back. I mean, they did get healthy. And then by the time they played the playoff game last week,
yeah, they
were 100% healthy.
Yeah, for the first time.
So that's part of it, too. They got healthy. They started believing in themselves. But, yeah, we can't forget that there was a period of time, and as Peter said, I got egg on my face. Freezing cold takes can bring it up when I thought they weren't going to win another game. But you can't forget that there's that in them, too. Did they completely shed that? Was that all because of injury, lack of confidence? Or is this team got their mojo back to where everything that happened a few weeks ago is completely wrong?
Well, I'll tell you what. You looked at the stats that Yes just threw up there. This is a Eagles defense that's okay against the run, fantastic against the pass. Things went great for the passing attack of the Giants last week, but Michael, as you've pointed out a bunch, Minnesota's pass defense is terrible.
Right.
So don't you guys think if they are to win this game, we're talking about Daniel Jones throwing the ball like 23, 24 times, and they are just pounding the run all day. That was the Washington method to beating Philly.
And also they have to pound the run because you want to limit the amount of times that they get the ball.
Correct.
Because their offense can score. I mean, they have two great wide receivers, a guy who could be the MVP at quarterback. You don't want to keep giving them the ball.
Well, and they sacked the quarterback. They defend the pass. That screams to me, we do not want Daniel Jones dropping back and throwing a lot to these overachieving, but not that talented wide receivers. We want them to pound the run, a lot of read option for Jones and Saquon. That's the way this thing plays out.
Well, the scary thing is we have this narrative that as long as the Giants protect the ball, they should be okay. That's the feeling with Jones. If you remember the last time they played, the only fumble was from Tyrod Taylor. Like, Jones didn't throw an interception, they didn't fumble the ball, and yet they still got blown out. You know, the stats, Jones threw for 169 yards, a touchdown. He was sacked four times. Saquon only had 28 yards rushing.
That was during his rough patch.
Right. You know, he did have a long of nine, and they didn't do – Brightwell actually got the other carries, 5 for 23. So they didn't run the ball at all. But they're going to have to try to establish that run, play action, the run-pass options, all those things. They're really going to have to pull out all the stops to score. And – let's not forget, too, this is a really good offensive team. You know, in the Giants' defense, they didn't exactly clamp down. They did a great job in the second half. Jefferson didn't get much, but they did give up some touchdown. They were going back and forth. There was really a shootout early in the game. Then the Giants got some big stops in the second half that really turned things around. But, you know, I think Philadelphia can score some points, too. So this is a challenge. This is a big-time challenge in a building that's been a house of horrors for them in years. A team that have had their
24
numbers.
24 of 30 they've beaten them since 2008.
No, it's
and don't get beat by a Jalen Hurts deep ball. That guy really took a big step with the touch on the deep ball. And Devontae Smith is a scary proposition.
And the Giants have lost 9 straight at the link. Now, the Eagles are the first team with 4 players with at least 10 sacks in a single season since 1982, when the individual sack became an official statistic. Now, against the Giants, they've sacked their Giant quarterbacks 9 times in 2 games. 4 times against Jones, 3 times against Tyrod Taylor, 2 times Davis Webb. So they've got to account for that.
Yeah.
Again, Evan Neal is not a lockdown offensive
70
lineman.
Sack. And the other guy, too, that scares the heck out of me is A.J. Brown. He's had a tremendous season. Oh, listen, he's not Jefferson, but he had more touchdowns than Jefferson.
He did?
He had 11 touchdowns
this
year for 1,500 yards. I mean, he's no joke. Smith's no joke.
What did Smith have? You seeing it all right there?
I'm going to punch it up.
1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns for A.J.
Yeah.
God, when they signed A.J. Brown, I was like, oh, is that a great signing?
Devontae Smith, 1,196 yards, so 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns.
I mean, that's dead. That's very tough.
You're getting over 3,000 yards, or close to 3,000 yards, and what is it? What did I say? 18 touchdowns out of 2 of their wide receivers.
Have you ever heard of a man named Richie James? Have you heard of Hodgins? We got some response.
Well, I heard of them recently.
And you see did you block that Galladay threw?
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. By the way, you know what it was? It was beyond good.
It was worth the entire free agent contract.
Oh, absolutely. That's a touchdown 1 week and a block the next week. They're owned.
Don't forget about him, though.
No.
We know he's still on the team.
There's something in there.
There's something there, and boy, he can change everything.
I'm making a prediction right now.
Touchdown.
If this Giants team goes on a run, this run continues, and they go deep,
MVP of the Super Bowl,
there will be a Galladay touchdown. There will be a big Galladay moment.
Now, I have a fun stat for Giant fans.
Okay.
When the Giants face the Eagles Saturday night, it will mark the 10th time the Giants have played a number one seed in the playoffs.
Okay, let me see.
Since the NFL implemented seeding back in 1975. So they've done it 9 previous times. You know what their record is, Donnie?
Let's see. 9 previous times they've taken on the one seed.
Yeah.
That means in the NFC playoffs?
All right, I'm assuming, just going through.
In the playoffs.
49ers had to be the one seed in 81. They lost. 49ers had to be the one seed in 84 because they were 15-1 that year. They lost. So that's 0-2. Okay? They were seed in 86, so it wouldn't be that. 88, no. 88, they didn't make it. 89, no. They lost to the Rams. So 0-2.
90, they play a 1?
90, they played the 1 seed in the 49ers and won. So now they're 1-2.
I think you might be missing one, because The answer is they're 6-3 in
the No, 85, the Bears.
Right.
Right, so they lost to the Bears. So that's 1-3.
Each of their past six playoff matchups against the
Right,
one
so,
seed.
So they were 1-3.
Since 1990's NFC Championship game.
They've won
every
one.
That's the longest by any team since seeding began in 1975. The last loss, as Don said, to a one seed in the playoffs came in 85 divisional round against the Bears.
Shut up, 21-0.
Landetta whiff?
Yeah, the Landetta whiff. There was a lot. They just were not they were not as good as the Bears. There's no shame in losing to the Bears at Soldier Field in 85. Still don't know how the Dolphins won that game. At least that was in Miami.
Also, the Giants, this is interesting too. They've covered 10 straight games when they've played on short rest. One shy of the longest such streak in the Super Bowl era. And they're 3-0 against the spread this year. Daniel Jones is 9-0 against the spread in his career on short rest.
That's wild.
This is the kind of stuff you're going to get all week here.
And that completely goes up against what you said earlier about the overall NFL stats playing on a short week in the playoffs.
Right, right.
They don't know about Daniel Jones.
That's right.
He changes the numbers.
We're at UBS Arena, which stands for Unbelievable Stats, here.
Wow.
I got to say, I could start to feel a little chill in the air. They're opening the doors and some of the security's coming in preparing for the fans.
It's 54 degrees.
It's going to get colder. I'm just telling you, look at them. Will you look at them?
There's some still pictures of you, Peter, online. I mean, you should be embarrassed. By let me show you this.
Give him a good one shot, guys.
He's Chilly Willy the Penguin.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel.
Look at this.
Oh, I'll look right at the camera. Let him know. This is who I am.
Here we go.
This is who I am.
Again, I'd understand if it was really cold, but Don, it's not.
He's got to be
but
sick.
But listen, I
does anybody have a thermometer? I want to see what
does
it is.
Does anybody have a COVID test?
I wasn't 100% today, and I braved it because I didn't want Michael to kill me. And now what? I'm getting killed anyway.
Could we be the first show that I can think of?
Live COVID?
Actually, live COVID test.
I'd do it.
Does anybody have a live COVID test?
I would look so bad if it came out positive.
Why? Just leave.
I'd be a real heel.
How would you be a heel? You didn't know you had COVID. By the way, you should have tested before you left. I guess you are a heel. Peggy from Saddlebrook, congratulations. She won a solo stove Ranger 2.0 from the Superbox Bonanza.
That's where my dad is.
Sorry?
The cemetery's in Saddlebrook, New Jersey.
Oh, nice.
Really? Interesting. I visited my dad at the cemetery today.
I know, and yeah. I felt bad
you
for
did?
You.
Why did you feel bad?
Well, because you're from the Bronx, and you buried your dad in Elmont, New York, mm-hmm. which is not it's a fine place, but it's not close to where you were. That must have been
but you know what?
A long haul for the funeral procession.
But you know
long
what?
All day.
My dad's with me all the time.
I'm that way. Maybe that's just the way, Peter, of me
you
feeling less
never
guilty,
going.
Not having to go to the – I didn't go this Christmas. I usually try to go. We couldn't take off because you weren't around. So I missed that, but because we put the grave blankets on, but he's with me.
Right.
What is buried 6 feet under? That's the shell of the human being.
Beautiful.
But does I still should a, swing
is,
by.
Is that a grave blanket that he has on? Right
I,
now?
I was gonna say, I bet your dad is about as cold as I am right now.
Oh my goodness! Why would he say that? Talk about macabre.
Here we go.
That here we go.
Wow.
Is going to make a run.
Let's go to let's go to Bernie in Virginia. Bernie,
what's up, buddy?
Hey, all right. I gotta say, Don saying that he would take the life of a 78-year-old man is amazing, and
it was taken out of context.
No,
it was taken out of context. He said
right
that
there.
He would punch me.
I've been listening to Rothenberg all week. And he's every day he said that if he saw Vince Papale in the street, he would assault him. So it's
heard
really great.
That. But
it's hilarious.
Vince, my only thought of him is who was it? What Wahlberg played him in the movie?
Mark,
right. And so I don't know the actual – how old is he? Like in his late 70s? But why is Dave talking like that? At least I was talking about Al Michaels. If he went and punched me –
then you take his life.
Why is he trying to go after Vince like that?
Rothenberg can't even do the Eagles concert live read. Rick has to say the name Eagles. Dave won't say the name of the band. It's really strange.
You know what? That's kind of brilliance you get from 6 to 10.
He's such a hack.
It is brilliant, but there's nothing to do with the Eagles.
I understand him. He just can't say the word. I understand everything about Dave. I'm growing closer to Dave now.
The thing is, though, he's a phony.
He's a phony?
He's a phony. He really can't say the word Eagles. Like, it really hurts.
No, no. Rick says it for every read. Dave does the rest of the read.
No,
Rick,
I believe he does it, but I think it's performative, which is something that's very common.
Very common.
Yeah, a lot of that going around lately.
Yeah.
A lot of that going around.
What do you got, Bernie?
I gotta say one thing. I called last week. I doubted the Giants. I'm sorry. I'm falling on my sword. Rex was right. I was wrong. It's for the first time in a decade, the Giants seem to have the four most important positions in football filled correctly: quarterback, head coach, GM, and owner. It just feels right. And A.J. Brown, he scares me because he was on my fantasy team. He's the only reason I made the playoffs. He's that good.
He's good. He's
he
really
scares
good.
Me. But you know what? If the Giants play like they did last week, they win. It's just that easy. And Peter, one last thing. We've taught Don what slap means. Now we got to go with the clap. All right? Love you guys.
Wow.
Clap or cap?
Clap.
I think he said clap. I just got a text.
I think he knows what that means.
From Dave Rothenberg.
Okay.
And Dave and I, we're on the same page. He said, I feel closest to you as well. I've come around on Dave. Dave is brilliant. I agree with Don, best pound for pound in the city.
You know what? Too little, too late.
No. Dave is a radio god.
Radio god.
He knows how to pull strings. He knows how to get people's emotions.
I've been telling you this for years.
You know what? I've come around, and you know how I feel about Rick.
Yeah, but that's all sexual.
What?
Oh wow.
Am I wrong?
No.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Yummy.
I mean, it's physical.
Physical. I'm sorry.
Well, he is handsome.
Why would that be relevant to a relationship with a friend?
Well, by the way, can I just tell you, Dave should not wear the LT jersey.
Why?
He looks like that picture of Don from 30 years ago. It's not.
He looks
becoming.
Great in that jersey.
No, he does.
And you know what helped me out is that the picture was 30 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like that, when every time they show that picture of Dave standing there and is like, there's Don.
Wow.
Right?
That is an unfortunate
picture.
Yeah,
and you could tell by the elastic Bugle Boys jeans that's 30 years
ago. Your gut was screaming against the material there.
No.
Yeah.
It's tucked in. He went for the tuck.
I went for the tuck. You don't tuck into
the Justin
it.
Tuck.
So that's a Justin Tuck jersey,
But for Dave to wear it right now, there's something about it. Like if Dave got one of the new modern jerseys, like an authentic from like even just like an Eli jersey. It'll sit a little different, a little better on him.
I had an authentic LT jersey.
And how was that?
Well, I got it signed to the Hall of Fame, and now it's up on my wall.
Really?
I got a linebacker wall.
Who else is on
there? There's a Buttle jersey.
All autographed. It's LT.
Right.
Greg Buttle, game war, that he autographed for me. And Harry Carson also autographed. So two Hall of Famers and an all-time Jet.
Because
he's on the all-time
figure.
Jet team. And yeah, a father figure and game worn. So I put Buttles in the middle.
Now, would you be offended if I said that's a precipitous drop off from LT to Buttle?
I think Buttle would be offended. Now, how about this, Don? Right. I mean, Anthony Greek has some things to say.
Okay.
And I think this is a really good point. So for those that are not watching on Yes, Peter's very cold. He has a ski cap on. He has an overcoat on. And on top of the overcoat is a Islander shawl. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, the Islanders. I love this.
And Anthony said, when Peter finishes the cup of coffee, he needs to throw out the cup immediately, or fans might put coins in the sip hole, thinking that he's a guy who came upon hard times at Belmont Park.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what, Greek? You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
It's an awful look.
I'm very cold. What am I supposed to do? You want me on the air tomorrow? I know if I miss a show, you're going to kill me.
I think you got to go home as soon as the show's over.
You think so? Don't even go to the suite?
It's just weird. How can you not be sick? I don't want you to be.
But isn't everyone else here essentially somewhat cold?
Is anybody? You look at you.
We have to break.
Yeah, but
we have Dan Orlovsky.
Stop talking. Stop.
Dan Orlovsky's coming on. Why do I always have to be the traffic cop, the bad guy?
Hopefully he's got a good phone line, or you just rush greatness.
Here is Dan Orlovsky coming up in moments right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
He's Chilly Willy the Penguin.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Mike in Westfield. Mike.
Yes, hi. This is Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You got it.
Okay. I have two bones to pick. The first one is, I think by letting Peter stay in the studio or wherever you are, it's a disservice, and you're missing an opportunity. I'd okay. send him home, say, Zani Gazun, feel better, da-da-da-da, we'll be okay. Go out on the street, get someone a la Steve Allen, get someone out on the street, the common man, have him sit in that seat and have at it. How could you not
see that?
Not a bad
idea. That's exactly. That's pretty much how we got Peter.
I am the common
man. That's how we got Peter, Mike.
Yeah.
And what was your other piece?
You guys are very, very good, but it's that kind of stuff that makes you great.
Wow.
Thank you.
We'll think about that.
Okay, number two. I have a bone to pick. It's been irritating me, and I like you guys a lot. I enjoy your show a lot.
Sure you do.
Okay?
Thank you.
During the summer, I called in about how I can't stand how much spitting Rafael Devers does at third base. And you guys said, it's baseball. Guys always spit. Not like him. Look at some tapes. He fills his mouth up with some sort of, I don't know what it is.
It sounded like
just
a summer
spits
call.
Constantly. We don't need to see that.
Okay.
I have a question. Do you have like Devers spit cam? Why are you seeing it so much?
Yeah, but whenever he's on cam, he's got tobacco in his mouth. So if he doesn't spit, he's going to vomit all over. He's going to swallow the tobacco juice. So
back in the day,
this was when I was off, I guess.
Very much so
during suspension.
I know why he felt like he had to repeat it. I guess because he wanted you
right
to comment on it. But that's a great point, because back in the day when guys would just have a wad of tobacco, they'd spit all the time.
Yeah, people spit.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I guess he would really be upset at Madison Bumgarner, would have those snot rockets that he would, remember, he'd hold one side of his nose and blow snot out the other. That bothers me. But spitting on a baseball field? Stop yourself.
We've said it all today. Now we've gotten snot rockets as part of the
You didn't think you'd get it,
what would you call it?
Shooting phlegm out of his nose, mucus. Let's go to Pat in Hoboken. Yeah. Pat, what's up?
Boy, I don't know how I follow the snot and spit call.
It is hard.
Good luck.
But I've been watching, and as always, great job, guys.
Thank you.
Peter seems to have taken on the Will Gear character in Jeremiah Johnson. he looks like he's ready to go into the mountains and meet somebody and never come out again. I'm worried, frankly, but.
It's not a good look.
Let's update that a little bit more. What was the Leonardo DiCaprio where he gets mauled by the bear? What was the name of that movie?
I think the bear.
Was it the bear?
Yeah, or Titanic.
The Revenant. I wouldn't do well in that situation, it seems. I don't do well with the cold. I when I was a kid, man, I'd go out and play football in a T-shirt when it was 15 degrees. Didn't care. Those days have come and gone.
He got mauled by the Kate Winslet character.
In
Titanic.
Don't bring up Kate Winslet's character.
I gotta tell you, what Rose did his character in Titanic was way worse than what the bear did to him in Revenant.
That's an excellent point. Because DiCaprio was asked on a talk show, "Was there enough room on the door for you?" He goes, "Next question." He didn't want. If he says yes, it ruins the whole movie.
But did he say next question to be fun, or was he being a nozzle?
No, just to be fun. He said, next question.
Because
the only answer is, of course, there was room on the door.
I don't want him to be a Cusack. I don't want him to be a nozzle.
Wow.
No, because Cusack's not doesn't want to talk about better off dead. That's all he should talk about. Stop
well,
yourself.
Well, now he likes to talk about politics. Let's go to Jay in Queens. Yeah, Jay.
He definitely likes to tweet about it.
Hello,
what's
Jay.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Feel better. Good. I'm all right. Feel better, Peter.
I'm okay. Thank you.
For Mike. Yeah, this is for Michael. Don is my guy, so I had to call in to have his back a little bit about the whole Al Michaels call and everything about how he's going to be smuttering. I wanted to call you out about you did the exact same thing, though, with the Aaron Boone call when he said, you're unbelievable. You didn't know how to respond to that. You were smuttering all over the place.
Wow.
No, 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 no.
Wow.
What was his answer to you're unbelievable? Because I said you're expecting Matt Carpenter to be a full-fledged player and not having taken a swing in 2.5 months, and you go, oh, you're unbelievable. I didn't sputter at all.
I don't think you
not
ever,
at all. It
was
never. I think Aaron kind of like was taken aback. That's why he said you're unbelievable. I of course was proven right, and I was rooting for Matt Carpenter. He's a great guy, but he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn in the playoffs.
Not
he
what
just
you
couldn't.
Want. No, he couldn't.
And you can't expect a player to not take a swing for 2.5 months.
I appreciate him having my back, but nobody has ever made you stammer on the air.
Really? No, no one has.
I've stammered on the air.
Not from intimidation, maybe just because you couldn't get it
when,
out.
When Eminem was being a jerk in Detroit, I was stammering like a
I went back like and watched it recently. You didn't cover yourself in glory.
What does that mean?
I mean, you were stammering. You looked lost. You're talking to one of the – that's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. That's
yeah,
an all-time
great.
But he
gave nothing.
There was a game going on.
Well, no, no,
Donnie. It wasn't Dick Cavett,
it's
okay?
It's not that he gave him nothing. He gave him – he just gave him things he didn't want.
No, he was being a nozzle. I'm an Eminem fan.
No, you're not.
I like Eminem's music. I like Eminem.
That's the
not like Ryan Rucco likes him.
No, that is the loosest – let me just say this. This is the problem. This is like when people come up to me on the street.
I'm always talking about Mom's Spaghetti.
They come up to me and they're like, oh, I got to say hello. I'm such a big fan. You're Paul Rosenberg, right? So, you know what I mean? You can't say you're a big fan just because you like 8 Mile.
I am a big fan of Marshall Mathers.
Name 3 Eminem songs.
Don't you worry about it. Don't quiz me. This isn't Jeopardy. Take a walk.
You like 8 Mile. By the way, I love 8 Mile.
I do like 8 Mile.
That's all he talked about. That's all he talked about.
It's a great movie. It's basically a sports movie. It's like Rocky.
In a way. Yeah, it is a Rocky-esque.
What's the best 8 Mile? 1 or 4, the one with Drago?
The Eagles have extended their Hotel California tour.
I must break you. Eminem, you will not win this battle alive. We battle in one place, Moscow.
Throw in the mic, man!
The Eagles have extended their Hotel California tour to include a stop at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. That's on Friday, April 7th. Featuring the Hotel California album in its entirety with accompanying orchestra and choir plus a full greatest hit set. You going to go to this, Don?
I want to, desperately.
All right. I have not gone to Prudential Center yet. I have to get there. Maybe that'll be part of our arena tour.
I think it should.
Yeah. Be caller number 4 right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you're going to score a pair of tickets. Brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com.
You can't win, Jimmy.
All right. When we come back...
What kind of animal is rabbit?
We're going to give away a super box.
You like a little bunny rabbit.
And how about this? You know how Dan Orlovsky sometimes has a bad phone line?
Yeah.
Now he doesn't have a phone.
So you just rushed me. You rushed me. I was in the middle of greatness during the last segment. You rushed me for Orlovsky, and what'd he do? He left you high and dry.
I rushed you because it was 5:27.
Yeah, we have to start adhering to the clock. Things have to change here. There must be changes.
No, you know what? That's my bad. I want to apologize.
And I've actually suggested to our PD we should have hard outs where we just go to commercial right in the middle of you yammering.
A crash.
Yeah, like they do on the national show.
Yeah.
22, boom, commercial.
All right.
And you can keep talking to yourself.
All right. I'm fine.
All right, good. Let's do that. Anyway, when we come back, we'll hear from Dan Orlovsky.
Will we?
Because he had some things to say earlier in the day. That's how we recover
and
keep a sponsor happy right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It's the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks.
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 Price Picks.
You know, you have the audacity to give a pick today. A guy lost $5,000 because of you yesterday.
Well, I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm giving you my picks. You do what you want. It's all of a sudden it's my fault.
Yeah.
I haven't had a good year, but I'm going to bounce back tonight. How about that? If I'm that guy, I put $10,000 on this. How about that?
I say bet the Bruins tonight. How about that?
Well, I'm not going to say that. Okay. That's not nice. Time now for today's ice pick, driven by Nissan. You know, the Avalanche have struggled this year.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little bit of a cup hangover.
Ooh.
But they have won two in a row.
Right.
13 goals in those two games. A nice 7-0 win over Ottawa. A nice 6-3 win over the Red Wings. They're going to be in Calgary tonight.
Right.
Take on the Flames. Plus 125 on the money line. So I'm going to go with the Avalanche on the money line against the Flames. That's today's ice pick driven by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you. And Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com. You got to realize, I could pick a winner every single night.
You should.
Sure you could.
Remember when I was hot, Peter, back in the day?
Right.
But, you know, I could pick a team that's like minus 250 on the money line. I want to give you some value, plus
sure
125.
You do.
So you got to take some risks here, brother.
Okay, but how did you give the guy who lost $5,000 value? You gave him a loser.
I gave him a loser, but I gave a winner the other day. Listen, it's still on you, man. Don't point fingers. You bet $5,000 and you lose. That's on you.
But you gave him the pick. You didn't feel a little bit of guilt?
Not an ounce.
Not even an ounce.
Should I?
Yeah.
Peter?
You're handing out these expert picks and the guy lost $5,000.
I never said I was an expert. They sold it finally after 3 years.
You can't doubt yourself. You got to just keep pressing forward.
That's
you win some,
I
you
do.
Lose some. It's
listen,
a bet.
And not yesterday in particular, but I'm betting these games. Now, I'm not betting $5,000. Listen, if you're betting $5,000, I have a hunch, a feeling that you don't. It doesn't hurt to lose $5,000 because you've got tons of money.
Did you see the guy? I'm rounding off the numbers here. When the Jaguars were trailing 27-0
to the Chargers.
I heard about this.
At halftime, he bet the Chargers $1.4 million to win $11,000.
He deserved it.
He deserved it. That's the way I look at it. You're a moron. You're putting up $1.4 million to win $11,000, which is what? Tipping money if you got $1.4 million to bet.
I'll tell you a
step
further.
And then he ended up losing his money.
I'll tell you a step further. If you have that much money to throw at something, why didn't you just put $1,000 on the Chargers?
Right.
Why would you risk a million? By the way, you would have gotten more, I think, probably.
You know what? That's somebody that obviously wants to get talked about. He wanted to get his 15 minutes, I guess, and figure everybody will talk about
15
it.
15 minutes
about
of
it.
Fame is not worth
well, obviously,
million
how much
dollars.
Money does this guy make that he's willing to do that?
Our promotions guy, Jake, told me that he flipped two $5 bets on Sunday parlays into $2,500.
Nice.
One for $1,100, one for $1,400. It's funny. That's what most people are doing. Like Ballard, I was with Ballard for the playoff games on Saturday for the 49ers game. He'll tell me all his bets he has going on. Don, people just have like 23 parlays working at the same time.
Do you know how hard it is to win that, though?
Very hard. But people bet very little on it. The payout's big.
Right,
so.
Right. All right, so it's time for the Dan Orlovsky Report, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. And
let's see.
Dan was on ESPN Radio earlier in the week, and he was asked about how Brian Daboll makes the difference for Daniel Jones. And here's what Daniel said.
Brian Daboll matters, you know. And we really, I feel like we've said that about Daniel Jones for a ton of games this year. Hey, Daniel Jones, that's the best game we've seen him play type of thing. I think the way to kind of phrase it for me is Daniel Jones went from being a massive problem to a legit problem solver for the Giants.
Well, it's got to be tough for Dan Orlovsky. I mean, he had no love for Daniel Jones for the longest time, but I give him credit. He's taking his medicine, said I was wrong.
Well, I mean, to the point that he's going too far now. I mean, he's going to put him in the Hall of Fame before the playoffs are over.
Canton.
Yeah, he's going straight to Canton. But, yeah, he was tough on him, man. I don't know how people didn't see at least something earlier this year. Like, it's funny to me that people saw nothing, and now they see everything. Wow. The vision of him was kind of clear. Like he became a nice player over the course of the year.
We have to feel like, I don't think anybody saw this, but our biggest criticism of him was not that he was clueless or lost, like we've said about other quarterbacks. It was that, could he stay healthy and can he stop fumbling and throwing interceptions?
He hasn't fumbled in 2 years, really. It was really bad the first two.
He fumbled, he had a turnover in the Minnesota game. And I think that's the only turnover he's had in a while. And he's cut that down dramatically.
Remember he had an interception in the first game and Dable just tore him apart on the sideline?
So coaching is, but give this kid credit too. I want to give Dable a lot of credit, but I also want to give Daniel a lot of credit too. He's taken the information. He's matured. He's gotten better. It's unfortunate, guys, with these first-round picks that you have the fifth-year option. Like, you don't have the luxury. You've got to make decisions quick, right? And so they had to make a decision based on not a lot of great information, not a lot of great coaching. So you can beat up Shane for not giving him the fifth-year option, but tell me the person that criticized Shane for not giving it to him this offseason. Everybody thought that's the right thing to do. And they're going to get beat up for it, but I don't think there's anybody in the organization that's upset about it.
But I like how, like, during last week's game, I don't know if you guys noticed it at all. I was obviously being hypercritical because of how much we've talked about Daniel. He looked really confident in the pocket. Like, his footwork, everything about him right now looks really confident.
Wouldn't you feel confident if you knew you were going to make at least $35 million next year?
Well, you know what? I felt like last week he had a real opportunity to take himself down a peg.
Yeah.
I think he could have lost money last week. So, I really do.
Yeah, but
and he stepped up.
Thank you. That's exactly the point. Him looking confident in Minnesota had nothing to do with I'm going to make a mint, because if you went out there and threw four picks and they got crushed, do you really think people would be talking about $40, $50 million about this guy?
Well, that's the Dan Orlovsky Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management for pain-free life.
What the
F? Visit SamwellPain.com.
See that gorgeous stat? It's really something. Daniel Jones, yes, showing it to us. Him, Lamar, and Steve Young, the only ones to ever do what he did. It's pretty amazing. 300 yards, 75 rushing. It's good company. That's our guy Steve Young.
I know. And our guy Lamar, future Jet quarterback.
Future Jet quarterback.
That's starting to gain some traction.
It's 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza 2023. We're giving away another box.
Bonanza.
Each box comes with additional prizing, including Yeti coolers, Knicks and Rangers suite tickets, JBL speakers, Fanatics gift cards, and much more. Plus, the big game payout of thousands and thousands of dollars. And the grand prize final score wins a trip to Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, plus $2,000 cash. Be caller number 8 right now at 888-987-ESPN. To get your box. It's all brought to you by Bartesian Premium Home Cocktail Makers, Sloman's, Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, PC Richard & Son, Grand Marnier, and 98.7 ESPN New York. This is going to be a very difficult ENN for Peter to pull off.
He's Chilly Willy the Penguin.
He's completely frozen.
No.
How is he going to perform under these types of conditions? He has turned UBS Arena into the Iditarod.
Yeah.
That's how cold he is.
It, you know what? That's a really good comp, and I just want to say, because I'm reading a lot of tweets, a lot of people have a lot to say about it. They think there's something wrong with me. I've now had at least 5 people who are with us come up to me and go, I am absolutely freezing.
And not one of those people has on a ski cap or a shawl.
So what? I'm smart. So what you're saying is I'm smart.
They're not smart? You're calling the people from Yes not smart?
If someone's head is cold and they're not wearing a hat, you are not smart, period.
Well, unless if you have one and you don't put it on, then it's not
but,
smart.
But the thing is, when you have a bald head, you leave the house every day in the winter with a hat. I do not walk out of the house without a hat.
But none of these people are bald that we're talking about.
So exactly. So it's a different world.
They all have beautiful heads.
Gorgeous, really. That's a nice.
It made you look around and go, nice set of heads.
Every single one of them, beautiful hair. Beautiful.
Look at every head of hair is nicer than the last one.
Yeah. That's what Yes hires on.
You may be stretching.
They hire on hair.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, big hair people.
No wonder it took me a while to get down with Flip.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.